Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 132, hymn 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are sovereign over space and time, and greater than we can even begin to imagine. In Jesus Christ, we glimpse your grace and glory, and through the Holy Spirit, we can discern your presence with us. We praise you for your goodness and love, and gladly we worship you, the Creator of all that is and shall be. Gracious God, whose mercy endures forever, and whose light illumines the dark areas of our lives, forgive us our foolish words and careless deeds. Forgive us our recurring faults and weaknesses. And give us the strength we need that, cleansed of all that is wrong, we may become the people you call us to be. A people whose joy it is to serve you and who know your will and are obedient to it. Almighty and everlasting God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Bless this time of worship. Draw us closer to you and to one another. And may all that we say and do bring glory to you, the God of our salvation. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. It's good to be back with you following my holiday. Good to come back renewed, refreshed and strengthened for this new session in the life of the church. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the sanctuary following the service. Please do remain if you can. Also following the service today, there'll be a further time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel. If you would like anyone to be prayed for, please go into the McMichael Chapel. It's the room on your left as you go through these swing doors, and there are cards that you can write names of people on and then attach them to the prayer tree. Volunteers to tidy the grounds around the church are invited to gather on Tuesday at 1:30. The annual open-air service at the ruin of Old Logie Kirk will be held next Sunday at 3:00. Also next Sunday at 6:30, there'll be a Songs of Praise service in the Church of the Holy Rood. This is a service organised by Stirling Kirks Together. Next Sunday evening at 6:30. If the weather is good, it's nice this morning, but if the weather's good, on the 13th of September, there'll be a picnic in the manse garden from 2 until 4. But that's very much dependent on the weather. The Sacrament of Holy Communion will be celebrated on the 14th of September, a fortnight today. And that's the day when the Reverend Jake Lehman will be with us. Jake is going to do a familiarisation placement here in the old parish for a year, and he and Melita, his wife, and the children will be leaving America tomorrow and arriving in Stirling on Tuesday. But I'm giving them a wee bit time. They'll need time just to settle in, and there's so many practical things that they'll need to do. But we look forward to Jake, Melissa and the children being with us a fortnight today. These are all the intimations. I wonder how many of you play Follow My Leader? Any of the young ones here with us today play Follow My Leader? Maybe you don't even know what it is. Maybe I'm showing my age by asking that question. What about the grown-ups then? How many of you played Follow My Leader when you were young? Quite a lot. It's a great game. And I played it quite a lot with my friends when I was young. For the benefit of the boys and girls here today, a group of young people would get together and they would choose one of them to be the leader. And then everyone else had to do whatever the leader did. Now that could be running. If the leader was to run, you would run as well. It could be jumping. It could be skipping. It could be touching your ears. More challenging, touching your toes. It could be knocking on someone's door and then running away. I jest, of course. Follow My Leader. It requires a lot of concentration. You have to keep watching the leader and follow them. The gospel tells us that one day Jesus saw some fishermen and he said to them, "Come, follow me. Let me be your leader." And we're told that there and then they left their nets behind and they followed Jesus. And as we read the Gospels, we can see that they learned a lot as they watched Jesus and as they listened to him. They learned what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And we're going to be thinking about that today. And to help us, I've got some of these sort of footprints with me, because they help us to understand a wee bit about what following Jesus entails today. The first footprint here has on it the word taught. Jesus taught others about God. He spoke to people about God's love and how we should live. And Jesus wants us to do that today. He wants us to tell others about God and his love. And that we can do not only through the words that we speak, but through the way that we live, how we treat one another. So there's one thing there, taught. And the second footprint has the word prayer on it. As we read the Bible, we can see that Jesus spent time each day in prayer. He spoke to God, and through speaking to God, he got the strength and the guidance that he needed in order to live his life the way that God wanted him to. And prayer is a great thing for us to do as well, to follow Jesus' example, because we have the opportunity to pray to God and to ask God to give us the strength and the guidance that we need in order that we can be the followers of Jesus today. And there's another word here on the footprint. It is the word served. Now, remarkably, though Jesus is God's Son and the King of glory, Jesus said, it is far better to serve than be served. Isn't that amazing? It's far better to serve than be served. And as one of our hymns puts it, Jesus is our servant King. And he expects us as his followers to be like him, to think of others and to do what we can to help, especially those who are in need. And then there's another footprint here with the word obedient. Obedient. Jesus was obedient to God his Father, even though it meant he had to go to the cross there to suffer and die in our place. And Jesus said that we are to hear his words, but not only to hear, we are to obey them. We are to put them into practice. And when we do, we will be like the wise man who built his house on rock. We listen to Jesus. We obey him. Why? Because he loves us. And he knows what is best and right for us. And then finally, this last footprint, it has on it the word love. Another of our hymns describes Jesus as the King of love. And he is. He showed his love in the way he lived. He loved God and he loved people. When he saw the hungry, he fed them. When he saw the sick, he healed them. When he saw the sad, he comforted them. We don't have the same power that Jesus has, but we have the power to love and the power to make a difference. So today, let us reflect on Jesus' invitation to follow him. We're going to sing our baptismal hymn. It is the hymn 631, hymn 631, A Little Child, the Saviour Came. It's lovely to welcome Kieran and Rebecca, baby Douglas, and their family and friends to the church today. Douglas, baby Douglas, and his mum and dad live in Fritwell. Now, apart from the family and friends, who knows where that is? Fritwell. Any guesses? Do you think it's in Scotland?
No.
It's down south. It's near the Cotswolds in Oxfordshire. Am I right?
Yep.
And you've invited me to go on holiday with you any time there. I'm needing a holiday. But it's just lovely to welcome you here. And Rebecca, of course, belongs originally to this area, St. Ninian's and Bannockburn, and her family are connected to this congregation. Friends, following Douglas's baptism, we'll sing the blessing, and you'll find the words at hymn 796. In the sacrament of baptism, we celebrate what God in Christ Jesus has done for us, and we enter upon the new life that God, by the Holy Spirit, opens to us. I'll take you in a wee moment. Christ is present with us in the sacrament, and by water and the Holy Spirit, God claims us as his own. And cleansing us from sin, he sets us free from the power of death. In this sacrament, the love of God is offered to each and every one of us. And though we cannot understand it or begin to explain it, We are called to accept that love with the openness and the trust of a little child. In baptism, Douglas is assured of the love that God has for him, and the sign and seal of the Holy Spirit will be placed upon him. Kieran and Rebecca, in presenting your child for baptism, seeking that he may be united with Christ and become part of his church, do you receive and accept the teaching of the Christian faith? Let us pray. We praise you, Lord God of creation, for out of chaos and darkness you brought order and life. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, for through your baptism of suffering, you have brought deliverance and hope. We praise you, Holy Spirit of Pentecost, for by your power and indwelling, you bring new birth and new life for us all. Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and this water, that Douglas, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him in newness of life, and being born anew of water and the Holy Spirit, may he remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, how are you? There we are. It's okay. There we are. I'll be as quick as I can. Douglas, Eden, James, Fulton, Duke, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and dwell in your heart forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now we'll go over this side as well, since you're doing well at the moment. Ah, there you are. We're nearly there. There you are. There you are. That's it. Oh, you're good. You've got good, strong lungs, haven't you? Eh? There you are. Now, well, we'll give you back to Mummy. Oh, there you are. Have you got them all right? Baby Douglas is now baptized into Jesus Christ. We receive and welcome him as a member of Christ's Church. Kieran and Rebecca, your child now belongs to God in Christ. From this day, the Christian community is his home, and there will always be a place kept for him. You are witnesses of his baptism. Tell him about it. Share with him the treasure he has been given this day, so that he may understand his baptism, and as he grows, make his own response in faith and love. Do you then promise, God being your helper, to make your home a Christian home and to bring your child up in the faith of Christ and the fellowship of his church? Friends, do you welcome Douglas, and do you renew your commitment with God's help to live before all God's children in a kindly and Christian way, and to share with them the knowledge and love of Christ? Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the miracle of birth and the wonder of a newborn child fashioned by your hand and bringing joy to so many. We thank you for Douglas, for all that stretches before him, the possibilities and discoveries you hold in store, and for the times we will share with him in the years to come. Almighty God, we thank you for the love that surrounds Douglas, the care of his parents, the support of family and friends, the prayers of this fellowship, and your own everlasting arms. Loving God, we pray for Ciaran and Rebecca. Give to them the wisdom and insight they need as they seek to bring Douglas up in a Christian home. And watch over Douglas, that in every circumstance of life, he will know your love and find peace in your promise to be with him always. And we ask that in the fullness of time, he will respond to Jesus' call to follow him and declare before you and your people his faith and trust in you. These things we ask in Jesus' name, and together we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now we have a Bible and certificate and a rose to present to Douglas. Would any of the young people like to come out and present these gifts? Would anyone like to come out? Yes, here we are. That's super. Good to see you. There you are. What's your name now?
Jessica.
Jessica, of course. Nice to see you. Would you like to present the Bible? Would that be okay? And you can present it over here. You come over here with that. And maybe give that to Andy, Godfather, is that okay? And then here we are. Hello, we've got a certificate. Do you want to give that there now? Would that be all right? Oh, thank you very much. And there's also this lovely rose. That'll maybe remind you of England, does it? Would you like to present the rose? Would give that to Daddy there, will we? Give that to Ciaran. Dear friends, it's lovely to welcome Douglas into the family of God. It's good to have a number of children with us here today, and some up in the gallery as well. Now, following the singing of the next hymn, some of the children will be going down to the hall where a programme of activities have been arranged for you, and all children are warmly invited to go out after the singing of the next hymn and to go to the hall. Okay, but lovely to see you all. We're going to sing the hymn 185, 185, Come Children, Join and Sing. The Word of God comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, and we shall read verses 18 to 25, page 3 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on further, he saw another pair of brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of illness and infirmity among the people. His fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought to him sufferers from various diseases, those racked with pain or possessed by demons, those who were epileptic or paralyzed, and he healed them all. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from Transjordan. Amen, and thanks be to God. When I was on holiday, I spent a few days in Campbelltown, my hometown. And one of the things I always do whenever I'm there is to go for a walk down the pier. And invariably, I will always meet someone and we blether away. We talk about the weather. That's a Scottish thing to do, isn't it? But we also talk about fishing. There aren't so many fishing boats now, but in times past, there was a big fishing fleet in Campbelltown, with the boats sometimes two or three abreast at the pier. It was quite a sight. And I have very fond memories as a boy watching the boats coming in and the fishermen landing their catch. Fishing isn't an easy job. It requires courage, stamina, and the ability to work as a team. And one might add, it also requires a strong stomach to cope when the wind gets up and the waves toss the boat in all directions. But for many fishermen, they would not do anything else. It's in their blood. It's who they are. The first followers of Jesus were fishermen from Galilee. They were down to earth, straightforward individuals, hoping to catch enough fish to make a living. They weren't among the elite. They weren't the movers and shakers in society. If the truth be told, they held no power and exerted little influence. And yet they were the very people that Jesus of Nazareth approached and invited to follow him. "Follow me," he said, "and I will make you fishers of men." What must they have thought? I don't think the invitation would have instantly fallen into the category of something too good to miss. So what made them give up the only way of life they had known? Perhaps the fishing had been poor and they were looking to do something different. Maybe they were fed up. We all have our off days, don't we? That's it. I've had enough. I'm going to look at the job section in the paper or online. and we're determined. But then, the next day, we think, ach, things aren't so bad after all, and we carry on doing what we've always done. Or perhaps James and John had become tired of their father Zebedee breathing down their necks and telling them what to do, even though they were grown men. That can happen too, can't it? No matter your age, there are always people who think they know best and who are of the opinion that our lives would be impoverished if we didn't benefit from their advice. Perhaps. But can I put it to you that none of the possible reasons I have mentioned would have been enough to make these four experienced fishermen give up the job that gave them a living? There had to be another reason. It was Jesus himself. There was something about him, perhaps his voice, or simply his presence, that gave them confidence to lay down their nets. And so they left their old way of life behind. And though I imagine they would have had to endure the ridicule of family and friends who would quite possibly have thought they were mad, they followed Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a great theologian who was known for his staunch resistance to the Nazi dictatorship. And ultimately, he died because of his faith in a concentration camp in 1945. He knew what it was to follow Jesus Christ. And he wrote, "The call to follow is a call to absolute discipleship. And though it comes as a pretty high cost, it is only by surrendering to Jesus' command that we can know our greatest joy." Absolute discipleship. My friends, following Jesus is not like casually following some celebrity on social media. Following Jesus is a way of life, and it is something we are to do 24/7. But perhaps you're sitting there today thinking, does this really apply to me? This call to follow? Isn't the call to follow only for a reserved few? Don't you have to be well gifted or influential to respond to such a call? Some think that. But that theory, that thought, is challenged in Matthew's gospel. The fishermen were ordinary people going about their ordinary everyday lives. There were people whose hands and faces were weathered by the wind and the sun, and who probably said things they shouldn't have said. And yet it was this group of people who were targeted by Jesus and asked to follow him. We may not be called by Jesus to give up our work or to leave our family and friends. But be assured of this. The call remains after 2,000 years. It is an ongoing invitation to a life-altering path. Though not walking the dusty roads of Galilee, the essence of following Jesus is unchanged. It is a call not to a religion, but to a relationship. It is a call not only to know about Jesus, but to walk with him. So there's the challenge I set before you at the beginning of this new session. Can we be like the fishermen who left behind their nets? Can we day in and day out leave behind our old way of life and become the people Jesus calls us to be as his followers? Follow me on a cold Sunday morning when the warmth of a cozy bed is more alluring than a time of worship in the company of God's people. Follow me when you see that co-worker, classmate, or neighbor who seems not to have anyone to talk to, who is longing for someone to hear his or her story. Follow me and offer support. Follow me at a dinner party where jokes become increasingly crude and you can't quite bring yourself to laugh at yet another joke that brims with racism or sexism. Follow me and speak up and do what is right. Follow me when you see those who are hungry or without shelter or who lack decent clothing or who are oppressed and without a voice, and you recognize them as children of the living God. Follow me and respond by doing what you can to help. Follow me and live out the faith so that others will come to believe. It's a big ask, isn't it? And sometimes we will not get it right. Sometimes we'll make a mess of it. But take heart, for the first disciples didn't always get it right either. And yet Jesus never gave up on them. He continued to believe in them. And as we are told, he loved them to the end. The story is told of a young woman applying for college. She felt that her application was strong until she got to the question that asked simply, Are you a leader? Her heart sank. Being honest and conscientious, she wrote, "No," and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college. "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." The world, my dear friends, may be looking for leaders, but Jesus Christ is looking for followers. And so, let us respond to that invitation. Not because it guarantees us an easy life, for it doesn't, but it does guarantee us peace with God and with one another. It gives us a new identity and sense of purpose. We know God's presence and strength, and what a wonderful inheritance we will have in heaven. Yes, there was something about Jesus that caused the fishermen to follow him and put their trust in him, and in so doing, they discovered that though he asked much of them, he could give far more than they could ever imagine. May that be our discovery too. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hymn 340, "When Jesus Saw the Fishermen." Our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the sanctity of life and the beauty of the world and for all that causes us to pause in awe and in wonder. We rejoice in your presence with us in the here and now, and give thanks for the meaning you give to our lives. Lord God, we remember how you called Abraham to venture into the unknown, how you called Elijah through the still small voice, how you called the disciples to follow Jesus, and how you have called generations since. Help us to respond gladly to your call. Equip us for service in the church and in the world, and guide us that in good times and bad, we may place our trust in you. Eternal God, Lord and ruler of all, yet concerned for each one of us, we pray for our troubled and broken world. Mend the divisions that tear us apart, and the wounds inflicted by pride, hatred and mistrust. In place of conflict, foster cooperation, and in place of dogma, promote dialogue. Gracious God, we pray for schools and universities and for the young. In a world with so many conflicting influences and temptations, protect them from harm online and in person. And be with those who teach. Reassure them when they feel overwhelmed. Strengthen them when they are exhausted, and grant that they may find fulfillment in all that they do. Lord God, whose Son reached out to the sick and comforted those who mourned, we pray for those who are sick today, in hospital or at home. Lay your healing hand upon them and restore them to health and strength. And we commend to you those who mourn at this time, thinking as we do of the families and friends of Myra McIntosh, Wilma Robertson, Muriel Oswald, and Jim McDowell. Be to them and all in our thoughts a source of consolation and peace. Eternal God, as we give thanks for those who walked this way before us and who are now at rest in your nearer presence, we pray for the church, the body of Christ. Strengthen our witness and increase our confidence that even in such a time as this, we may joyfully proclaim the good news of your kingdom and follow the one who is the way, the truth and the life, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We come to our closing hymn. It is a great hymn, very much in keeping with the theme of our service today. Hymn 533. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?
Thank you.
Go in the peace of God and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, descend upon you and dwell within you this day and even forevermore.